far so good.
Just think it's gonna happen, I guess.
Holiday season is upon us.
Yeah, as we look around the studio here, they've already done some decorating. A little early, in my opinion, but yeah. You know, it wasn't my call, so.
I can still go for a turkey leg. It's not too early for a turkey leg.
No, not at all. It's a couple more weeks we'll all have a few of those.
I heard that. I'll be getting ducked myself.
Those are good.
Oh, especially from where I get them from. I don't get them from Publix. Because they offer them frozen.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Nah, I've never tried it.
Learn something new every day.
I get mine fresh.
But we're going to jump right into to week 10 because we were not there. We know we're not here last week. We had a few things we had to take care of instead.
Oh, speaking of things getting smoked is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get right into things that were smoked.
Yeah,
things that should have been smoked. Maybe even people who were smoking at the time.
Well, yeah, that would make perfect sense.
But, you know, as I told you last week, even if we'd gotten to do it, which we were unfortunately not able to, you will have ample time to grill the people you want to grill.
Yes.
Before we move on to the weekend's games.
All right, well, I've had time before it sink in. We all know this is present day, November 10th. I like to talk about numbers. And me and my good bud, the pregame, that day. So Chubb will get over 150 yards.
Okay.
Mason will have over 250 passing.
We were talking about the Georgia Bulldogs against the Florida Gators.
Sorry.
Game, by the way.
Yeah. A little context would help. Chubb, 150.
Uh-huh.
Mason, over 250 passing.
Mm-hmm. Good call on that. But,
yeah. What I didn't say is that the Florida Gators would have more points than passing yards and run for 450 yards, running the same three plays the entire second half. Did not attempt to pass in the second half.
You know, I was not able to watch this game live, but I went back watched a good chunk of it.
Yes.
Thanks to some awesome replay tools that we have in front of us. And the Florida offense, or the Florida play call, reminded me very much of Remember the Titans.
Yes.
Let's run the same three plays. As long as we run them effectively, we shouldn't have a problem. There it was.
That's exactly what happened.
It reminded me of that Georgia Southern game a couple of years back. I can't remember who they pretty much did the same thing to somebody.
To the Florida Gators.
Is that who it was?
In Florida.
Yeah.
That was last year.
That must be where they learned it.
That's exactly where they learned it.
Good call by Muschamp. He saved his hide.
Well, for now.
Well, to the end of the year.
Yeah. Frustrating thing is, I mean, I know I always interject that I'm a Bulldog fan. Bulldogs have had two byes this year.
Mm-hmm. Technically, if you count that game, three.
Followed up each bye, giving up 38 points, and losing to a team they had no business losing to.
Correct. Oddly enough, they're two losses.
Yes. After each bye, 38 points. Georgia didn't show up at all. There's really no nice way to put that. Chubb had 101 yards in the first quarter, ended up with 153. They got away from where their bread was being buttered. I don't know, questionable play calling, you can always second guess and whatnot. When they came out of the halftime, went three and out on three passes, and then Florida got the ball back and just really broke it open. That was the end of the game. Georgia didn't show up. They weren't ready. It was, I think I even saw quotes from a couple of players saying that they looked past the Gators. And
you can't do that.
No, not in the SEC. I mean, you could do that maybe in the SWAC. Well, the SWAC doesn't exist anymore, does it? Conference USA.
So. Yeah, Conference USA.
Sun Belt. You can maybe look past some players if you're
not
the superior
all of them.
Team.
There's some Sun Belt guys coming up in there.
You can
as
do
we'll,
it.
We'll get into that in a second.
But yeah, that was a lack of interest, a lack of focus. They had a great chance to put a stranglehold on the East, and as they often do, they don't take the chance when they get the chance.
Nope. They do not. And 38-20 was the final score of the Gators.
It was not that close.
No. The score didn't tell the story.
No, not at all.
But I'm going to use this quote that's on the screen in front of us here. It's kind of funny. And back in middle school, when we used to do the school news, I was known for adding funny little things like this. But I guess the 6th or 7th grade me would have said something similar. Muschamp's Gators muzzle the number 11 Bulldogs. I thought chomp would have been a better word there. Probably would have been a better, but muzzle's pretty good.
Yeah,
Because they didn't completely blow them out.
Now,
my rule always is, must be 15 or better. So technically, it's a blowout.
Oh, well, yes. Like
18,
I said,
18 is more than 15.
It was a 38-7 at one point.
Yeah.
So, that's that tells us.
It was almost garbage points that they scored.
I wouldn't use the word almost. But,
yeah.
Like I said, I mean, if you'd have told me Florida had 27 yards passing, Chubb had 150, Mason had 300, I would say, all right, I don't even need to watch the game.
Yeah.
That's why numbers don't always tell the story.
Well, and I'll be honest, you could have saved yourself and not watched the game. You know, because as a Bulldog fan, trust me, it's not fun watching your team do that.
That's the first time since I was 16 years old I got up and didn't finish watching the game. I started cooking spaghetti.
I think a lot of people did, including some of the players.
And my daughter, she was there. She's like, the game's not over.
Yeah, it is.
It's time to make spaghetti. Come on.
It's like, but no, it's not.
Oh, yes, it's over.
That's one of those fun lessons you teach your kid, like, hey, this game is over. When it gets to this point, it's not necessarily the score. When you see this sort of domination,
yes.
And just to brief over some of the other games, Texas A&M just beat UL Monroe 21-16. I felt like it should have been a lot bigger, but for some reason A&M just couldn't get it going.
Well, they had the true freshman starting, first start, and I know he's actually the better prospect coming out of high school. I know Trill Hill was, getting T-shirts made after week one, but apparently he's fallen off because he got benched for a true freshman, and, Kyle Allen, which is kind of hard not to say Brian Allen, but Kyle Allen.
He
Girl Danes.
Speaking of that other guy you mentioned, he was actually in Douglasville over the weekend. A buddy of mine outed him on Facebook, and I prayed for his safety that he found a cave somewhere because.
Well, he still lives in Villarica.
Yeah.
So, Douglasville's not that far from Eaton Path. I just think it's funny he's showing his face after the Gator. Incident. We'll call it the incident.
Well, and I don't know that he was there necessarily because the guy that outed him could have embellished a little bit just for the sake of doing it because that probably knows him on a personal level. So, I mean, he could have.
Yeah.
I mean,
giving him a hard time.
Right. But, A&M did get the victory.
Yeah, kind of struggled. Growing pains for the true freshman. Get a win. I mean, Monroe's upset some people before how they beat Alabama.
Yeah.
Saban's first year. So, they're a sneaky team. They got a lot of Louisiana players, and you really can't. They got a lot of talent with those high schools.
Pretty much with Missouri winning 20-10 over Kentucky a couple weeks back, pretty much to me keeps Kentucky out of contending for the East.
Yes.
And that's pretty much all that really happened in that game is that Missouri just pretty much put the hand on them, pushed them back down, and said, you know what? No, you're not taking this.
Well, yeah, 20-10 is not any domination at all, especially when they were at home. But you still got to win.
You do.
And Kentucky has been, I wouldn't use the word hot of late, but they've been surprising. They've been pushing teams to the limit.
Nobody expected them to be as good as they are.
They pushed Mississippi State to the very edge.
And speaking of teams we didn't expect to be as good as their record showing, Vanderbilt was able to beat Old Dominion 42-28.
Yes.
I didn't know that Vandy had 42 in them. I thought maybe 35 would be a cap for them.
Yeah.
But, hey, more power to you, Vandy, because you have 3 wins up to this point.
Yeah, and that's, I think that we anticipated them falling off a little bit from where the old coach had them. And Mason, he's a defensive guy, but Franklin really had heated everything up before he left. And I think it's kind of a mix of a lot of guys graduating and the change in philosophy. Mason will do well. I can't use the word pedigree, but he has experience and he's knowledgeable. And he was hired for a reason.
Right.
And Vandy was smart enough to hire Franklin to begin with, so that they might be on the right track.
They could be. I mean, I like a lot of the things they're doing.
Oh.
They're doing it the right way, and doing it the right way is not an excuse for, they're going to be bad for a while. It's like, no, they're getting better and better each week.
Yes. They're just missing points here and there.
Right. But they will. I think they will put it together, and maybe in a couple years they could be.
Yes, the thorn in the side again.
Right.
They will be back.
Tennessee with the surprising or not so surprising win over the old ball coach and the Gamecocks, 45-42. That was, it's one of those that I've said all year. Tennessee, I think you've said it too. Tennessee is not afraid to fling the ball.
No.
And now they neither is South Carolina.
They found their quarterback now too.
Right.
I think he had some like crazy 480 total yards, 107 rushing, 360 odd passing. Worley just wasn't getting it done.
Right. And that's it's good. That's really the true test of good management or good coaching in this perspective. You look and go, you know, let's at least see what we got at this point.
Yeah.
And it was a good move.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. And they've seen him practice, so I'm sure they weren't. They're probably pleasantly surprised by his performance, but I'm sure they weren't shocked. They knew he had it.
Right. Mississippi State beating Arkansas just 17-10. I know Arkansas plays tough. They like to run the ball, control the clock, but Mississippi State, you're number one. You have to,
that
you
was
have
10
to double that score.
10-0 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I know.
Arkansas was up.
I'm not going to say I was scared because Mississippi State's not my team, but I was looking a little wide open at that one.
Arkansas, they're putting it together, and I know that eventually they're going to win. I think they're 0-18 in their last
SEC.
Last 18 SEC contests.
They're going to win one this year.
Well, that last game of the year against Missouri, that's going to be
that could be a spoiler.
Yeah, they're going to break through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that
they're just too good to not have.
Yeah, and their style of play, they don't really risk a lot. I mean, I know against Georgia the wheels fell off with 5 turnovers, but they still put it together and made it interesting.
Right.
After it was 38-6.
That they did.
So,
and
they're close.
Yeah, they are close. A little closer than Vandy.
Oh yes,
for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, like I've said, Arkansas plays Alabama football better than Alabama does. They
right.
just don't have the personnel that Alabama does.
Yeah, defensively they don't. They have some very good running backs and some monsters on the line. I mean, that one tackle, 6'10". I mean, I just don't even understand that. I mean, he'll be a pro wrestler for sure. But
he could be.
I don't see how you can recruit a 6'10" tackle. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Because Leonard Floyd was just running all around him in that Georgia game. Cause
yeah, because he couldn't bend down.
He can't get leverage. He's 6'10". I mean,
yeah.
They put him in the wrong spot. I mean, maybe tight end.
Or punter.
I mean, heck, wasn't it in that game where an offensive lineman had a touchdown pass?
Or was I think it? So.
I know recently Arkansas's offensive lineman had a touchdown pass to an offensive lineman.
I want to say it was.
Which is funny if that was their one touchdown to get the 10. But it was
that
recently.
Would be.
Yeah, because Hurd, I watch his 9 o'clock football show, whatever he calls it,
on Sunday. College New Football Show?
Yeah, he did a...
That's a great show, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He said, I don't think he's going to do it next year.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be...
Well, just like he cut out Spanning the Globe.
You know, Jeremy and Joe's new football show.
Well, that would be nice. I'll put in my audition tapes. But yeah, he cut out Spanning the Globe recently.
Did he?
Yeah. He said he's done it for 12 years, but he said now it's just useless. We got Twitter, we got Facebook, social media. We don't have
right.
to span the globe anymore. You know what you want. So he's trying to change, and he says he has a great time.
I like how he always evolves. That's why he's picked up soccer. He had already kind of followed it a little bit, but he's starting to hit it harder. He's like, if you don't do that, you're not going to have a job in media in the next 10 years because that's where everybody's
right.
going. I was like, he's ahead of the curve.
He is, really. I love how people on Twitter just blast him. Don't
well,
see how you have a radio show. I mean, I know I'm getting off course, but I do every time we do this. It's
well, but
still sports related.
You know, there's ignorant people everywhere.
I'm not
so.
Talking about Chewbacca or nothing.
But, briefly, I'll mention the Auburn kind of halfway playing spoiler to Ole Miss because it's going to transition right into...
Well, that was an unfortunate ending to that game.
It was. It was typical Auburn luck, and it almost happened again this week. As if you let Auburn hang around, dumb things happen in their favor a lot of times. Now, this week, they were very much the victim of dumb luck.
Treadwell breaking his leg as he's going in the end zone, then fumbles. That's
just,
unfortunate.
That's rough.
I mean, it wasn't like a Lattimore type injury.
But.
It was still a broken leg.
Right.
And a dislocated
visually,
ankle.
It was not, but.
A dislocated ankle, broken
yeah.
leg. And
technically, he was down at that point, was he not?
Nah, the ball came out when his leg broke.
But his leg breaking, wouldn't that be down?
Well, no, the knee didn't hit. The broken part of his leg hit.
I just, you know, prayers to that kid, because that kid is something special.
Well, you know, upset with Lattimore. I don't know. Anyone who's listening now is already aware of what happened with him. If that would have happened to him 20 years ago, they would have probably cut his leg off on the field.
Probably.
So nowadays, I mean, I don't think Treadwell's career is over. But
no, it's
with modern medicine,
right?
He'll be back. I mean,
you know, especially to happen right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he would be ready for an NFL roster this next year.
He might not be able to do the combine, but heck, Robert Griffin dislocated his ankle. Now he's back or doing what? I don't know what he's doing, but he's at least on the field.
That could be an entire show to itself, the whole Robert Griffin stuff.
Yes.
But as I said, Auburn was on the flip side of some odd stuff this week.
Kind of like the football gods saying, maybe we got it wrong with the Ole Miss thing. But
you know what? We're just going to pull the rug out from under see what happens.
Yeah.
And they did a good job of that. Texas A&M being able to pull that one out.
Actually
watched the end of that one. That was pretty cool.
Kyle Allen's second start. First road SEC start.
Right.
He's
the little brother, isn't he? Is he the little brother or is he the older brother?
That's Arkansas, I believe.
Is Arkansas I'm thinking of? It's one and when he got hurt, his brother come in?
That was Arkansas. Yeah, Kyle Allen was, I think he was the number one pro prospect recruit out of high school. Big, big arm. They're kind of like comparing him on the same level as when Stafford came out of high school. But Mel Kiper said Stafford could have entered the draft as a junior and been the number one pick. Kiper likes to say strange things.
Yeah, I mean, and he's usually not wrong.
No, he recognizes arm strength.
I mean, the guy doesn't even get up for the bathroom during all those, so, you know.
No, he knows what's going on with that. But he didn't say the same thing about Allen, but that's kind of the feeling I get when people talk about his talent. Now, of course, there's growing pains with a true freshman, but he got a big road win over a top five team.
Oh, yeah.
In his first start.
And, that drops Auburn a peg, 41-38 in that one. Florida over Vandy. Florida's actually starting to roll a little bit.
Yeah,
they used that Georgia momentum. And, like we said, you know, Vanderbilt's not amazing, but they're not god-awful. So,
but,
you know, 34-10, I felt like Vandy underperformed a little bit.
Yeah.
But Florida's starting to put a few things together. They've realized where the quarterback position needs to be, and they also know that I think no matter what, Muschamp's gone, so you might as well play it anyway because you're almost auditioning for your next level.
Well, and another thing that might be a cause for concern for Florida fans, they kind of came back down to earth on their rushing game. They had half as many rushing yards against Vandy as they did against Georgia, which that stuff against Georgia was, I hate to call it an anomaly because they did it over and over and over again.
Right.
But, you know, 200 yards passing, 200 yards rushing, that's about the best the Gators can hope to perform in a conference game. You got to have some balance at least, somewhat.
In the game that you were either pleasantly surprised or royally ticked off, Alabama goes down to LSU and beats them 20-13. That's pretty much, that's actually double the score that they typically average when they play each other.
Yeah, a controversial call at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
Pushed them back a bit. I mean, I think I brought it up on our last, what do we call this, transmission?
Podcast show.
Episode. Our last episode when I was saying the Notre Dame pass interference.
Yes.
That's a penalty in the first quarter, but not a penalty on the last play of the game. And I feel the same way about the personal foul on the LSU player.
Yeah.
There was really no cause to do that.
No.
Referees should recognize the situation and get in there and break it up. Say, do it again, I'm going to throw it. And who knows if LSU would have scored a touchdown. But they didn't help themselves by kicking them out of bounds and giving Alabama a chance to come down basically 50 seconds and kick that field goal.
Yep. Oddly enough, whether you think they have good kickers or not, he made the kick. So.
Well, yeah, and Alabama has the expectation to make those plays and win the game.
Yep.
It's a philosophy. It's the process.
It is. you know, UT Martin really didn't have a chance against Mississippi State, 45-16 in that one. Mississippi State finally started to dominate. If you're going to be number one, you have to put up those kind of numbers. And, you know, I feel bad for UT Martin, but you know they got paid.
Well, that paycheck game, kind of a warm-up for Mississippi State for their showdown this coming weekend.
Just like Ole Miss blanket Presbyterian 48-0. That's how you show dominance.
That's kind of, I don't know. Presbyterian lost to Georgia State.
Hey, more power to Georgia State, though.
I'm just saying, it's nothing against Georgia State.
I mean, Presbyterian's 5-5. They're not really any slouches.
But,
division.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Right. Their division's not the SEC.
Once you get over, like, 3 or 4 syllables, you shouldn't really schedule.
Aren't they in the Sun Belt?
No, I'm saying as far as Ole Miss is concerned.
Oh.
Not Georgia State.
Oh, okay.
No, it's the Ole Miss.
No,
it's not an Ole Miss for schedule.
Unless everybody's at Georgia State now. They got a hell of a program.
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of like the Vandy of the Sun Belt. The way they're putting stuff together.
I don't think they put that in big billboards.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I don't know that people in Atlanta would understand that reference. The Vandy of the Sun Belt. So we'll leave that to the experts to listen to our show.
Yes.
Because you guys know what we're talking about.
You know, contact Mr. York if you want to copyright that phrase.
Yeah. I will work out some sort of deal.
$8.50 in the pizza.
Yeah.
Sign the dotted line. Go ahead and
maybe some fettuccine instead of something.
Okay. Kind of broaden your horizons.
It could be even the Stouffer's family pack because those are good.
The grandma's chicken and rice bake. You should try.
Yes, those are amazing.
I'm a chicken and rice freak. So that's you heard it here first.
Oh, that's
highly recommended.
There's a family recipe it's pretty dang.
They were 2 for $7 at Kroger this week.
Wow.
Might have
to drop by the local Kroger.
Can't beat that, really.
And get some bison burgers as well.
Yeah.
They do have some of those type of things.
They do.
But, you know, then the Georgia game this week. They actually come out and started playing like the number one team in the East.
Well, 21-0. Real quick. 21-10 even quicker. 35-24 at the half. And every Georgia fan is saying, here we go again.
Yeah, here it comes.
The defense made a nice interception off a batted ball on the first play out of the second half.
Mm-hmm.
They capitalized on it. Special teams has really turned it around. And I don't know if a statistician can come up with this at all. I'd like to know another year in Georgia's history that 18-year-olds have scored as many touchdowns as they scored.
We'll have to send a note to our friends at the Elias Sports Bureau.
I tried to Google it myself, but
check Elias for sure. They usually, I mean, they give the Danettes and some of those guys, Rich Eisen stats. So.
Well, even this past weekend, 6 by 18-year-olds. No, I might be wrong. No, it was 6.
It was 6.
Blazevich had 2. Mm-hmm. McKenzie had 2. Sony had 1. Chubb had 1. And all those guys were playing in the playoffs last year.
Yep.
In high school. And
Georgia's finally getting recognized to be the hotbed it is.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not unnerving to me at all. It's kind of gives me a little bit of hope because next year they're going to have a lot of holes to fill. But not as many as you would think. Because even Blazevich, he's a player. He's made some... I wouldn't call it a Gronk-like catch, but he made some nice catches.
He's more of a Gronk than he is a Graham for sure.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know that he ever played basketball, and that's the only edge that Graham has is he was a basketball guy.
Yeah, I guess I don't like Jimmy Graham one bit.
But he puts up numbers.
I don't care. He's a Saint. I don't like the Saints, and he is also a redhead, which is not against redheads, but redhead and a Saint. And cocky.
Just odd combination for you.
Oh, yeah, and a hurricane.
Yes, he was. I remember that now.
So it's all adding up to...
But do you think 63-31 was enough for Georgia to make a statement? Or you felt like they should have tried to add a little more?
Well, it's kind of funny. You say they gave up 31, but won by 32. I think 48-10 would have been a better statement.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe not give up so many points, but at the same time... You still doubled the score.
Yeah, and they let that fellow with those short pants on run for 60 yards. And really, it was just, I don't know if you saw the game.
I saw bits and pieces.
But their running back had shorts on. He didn't have knee pads. His pants came to here. And he was actually from Monroe, and he was committed to Georgia. And he swapped to Kentucky because he saw the writing on the wall. He was like, I'm not going to get any carries.
They're loaded.
Yeah, I'm not getting any carries behind.
Good call by him, by the way.
Gurley or Marshall or Chubb or Michelle. Right. So, yeah, there's holes there. I don't know if they made a statement. They did what they should have done. 63 is a lot against a conference team. And they're still leading the conference in scoring, which is amazing to me. But, yeah, statement, no. Improvement, yes. Mason had he had more touchdowns than completions, which is always a good thing.
Yes.
He was under...
We're seeing the improvement. We're seeing him evolve a little bit.
Yeah, he was under 200 yards, but I don't really think that matters. I mean, he was hitting the proper throws, and heck, with the special teams, there wasn't really many yards to be made because, you know, either joystick was taken out of the house or it was terrible punts by Kentucky.
Yeah.
It was a good overall performance, but they gave up 30 points again.
That's very true.
I'm always going to look on the downside as far as the Georgia D is concerned.
Well, and now we transition into our Week 12 picks.
Yes.
And we'll start with Kentucky at Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I think Tennessee.
I don't know the spread.
I feel like Kentucky's still sliding a little bit, and Tennessee's going to fling the ball with this new guy. It is Tennessee by 7.5.
I'll take that.
Yeah, give me the points on that one.
Yeah.
Missouri at Texas A&M. Texas A&M favored by 5.5.
I don't know that I would take the points, but I think A&M with Allen, they're hitting their stride. Sumlin's a good coach.
Yep.
He's going to put him in the proper position.
There's a lot of rumors going around that Sumlin could be in the NFL next year.
Yes.
I don't particularly think he will. I think he'll stay, but at the same time, he's that good of a coach.
Yeah, I mean, he might look and say, hey, the NFC South is easier to win than the SEC West.
This year, that's true.
Yeah, so...
It's 1,000 times true.
So, I mean, he might look at his options. And heck, you go get a 4-year contract in the NFL, it'd stink. You can always go back to college.
Yep. Spurrier, Saban. Hey, guess what? He plays those guys every year.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones.
And, you know, if he passes up a chance and stinks at A&M, the chance may not come back. But if you go to the NFL and stink, say he coaches the Raiders or whoever, for 3 years and he's out, he's got $25 million and he can go.
And a lot of times he may come back to A&M or he could take over Vanderbilt and take him to the next level. God forbid,
Florida.
Or he could even go outside the SEC.
Yeah.
With a track record like he's got, sky's the limit. Do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Do what's best for you.
Oh, yeah, I mean, get the money while it's there because it's not always there.
Let's see, LSU at Arkansas. Arkansas is actually favored by 2.5.
I will take the plus 2.5 and LSU. That's going to be 16, 12, 15, 11, like a high-scoring baseball game. It's going to be a lot of running. A lot of running. Field position, turnovers.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm going to say Arkansas is going to pick up their first SEC win here.
I don't know how far
I usually don't go against LSU because I like Les Miles and the way they're running right now, but I feel like Arkansas do, so I'm gonna go out on the limb. So I guess, you know, I'll be the wrong one.
Well, they're favored.
Yeah.
I don't know how out on a limb that is. We keep saying they're due.
Yeah.
At some point,
they're going
to
do it.
I circled the Missouri game for that to happen, but...
Right. Let's see. We got number one Mississippi State at number 5 Alabama. Alabama's favored by 7.
That's a bit much.
That's a lot. This is going to be one of those like 34-31 battles.
I think that Alabama will win that game.
I don't know that Alabama can score 31 points, so it may be a 27-24.
Well, Mississippi State's defense is a lot of smoke and mirrors. I know they're winning, but they're ranked in the bottom third as far as total yards. In the conference, not in the nation, but
I think don't take the points. Alabama wins this.
Well, I know how many top 5 teams Alabama has played recently, and I can probably count on 2 fingers how many top 5 teams Mississippi State has beaten in the past 20 years.
Correct.
And that was this year.
Yeah.
I think it was just 1 top 5 team actually. I keep putting Ole Miss in there, but they haven't played them yet.
No, they haven't.
They just beat Auburn.
FCS is going to pick up the Egg Bowl or the Iron Bowl this year.
Heard why, right?
No.
CBS has already exhausted their allotted Alabama games.
They're really? Not,
they can only have them on five times. And they're picking them this week for that game. That'll be the fifth time. Can't have one team on.
That's true.
More than five times.
They can't.
I don't know what kind of rule that is, or who in the world even took time to say that. And come on.
Well, but it's their blunder. So somebody else will pick that one up, and I would imagine ESPN is going to throw their name in the hat.
Oh, they're going to have it.
But who should pick it up is SEC Network.
They've already. I heard
they got something else.
I heard their scheduling today, and it was just ridiculous. Like the Bulldogs against Charleston Southern and Tech already noon kickoffs.
Right.
Which, okay, I mean, honestly, Tech and Georgia could both just have two losses when they play.
It's true.
And that's a noon kickoff. You know, rivalry game. The teams are both 9-2 or 10-2, according to how many games they scheduled. I think it'll be 9-2. But I don't know. I know everyone's trying to sandbag for the playoffs, and you know how are you really supposed to play it? But the schedule is kind of weird for that. CBS. I mean, it's really just a product of Alabama's scheduling. I mean,
yeah, it's just they've had so many of these good games. That they were smart to try to show the ones they could, but I think they just miscounted a little bit.
Yeah, probably that first game of the year they shouldn't have had them on.
And in the next to last one we'll pick, the South Carolina Gamecocks are going to go down to Wilmo's Champs, Florida Gators.
That's it.
Florida by 6.5 is the line I'm looking at.
Nah, Spurrier. He's going to close the door on Florida's minuscule hope of winning the East.
He's going to kibosh it here.
Yeah, I mean, that's how he is. You saw what he did, who was that, against LSU, where he went for it on fourth down seven times?
Yeah. He's going to do the same thing here. Yeah. The old ball coach has something to prove, so he's going to prove it. And Will Muschamp just happens to be the guy on the block.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but their DC is going to be able to say, hey, here's three plays we got to guard against. I mean,
yep.
That's what they went to. That's what they're reduced to. I mean, I don't know how a Florida team can really be that inept offensively, but it's not anything new. It's been going on for, this is year four, which kind of coincides with Mr. Willie's hiring, but...
Yeah.
But he keeps bringing in the top OCs in the country. So there's some disconnect somewhere. I don't know. Square peg, round hole stuff. Who knows
this one? But that leads us to the last game that we're going to pick of the week, and that's the last SEC game for the week. Number 3, Auburn, is going to be between the hedges against the Georgia Bulldogs.
What is that? Is that 2.5?
It is still at 2.5, according to this.
Yeah.
2.5 Georgia.
They opened at 1.5 yesterday.
That's a retarded line.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. Honestly, it depends on which Georgia offense shows up.
I would agree with that.
The defense, they're going to give up 30 points.
Right.
If they give up less than 28, I will be shocked. Honestly. Auburn's, they're clicking, and I think we've seen that if they don't beat themselves, they're pretty hard to beat.
Right.
They got number 3 coming back this week. I mean, that's going to... The atmosphere is going to be crazy.
It's going to be different, yeah.
7:15 kickoff. I really hope they don't black out. That's all I've heard since Saturday night. Blackout's coming. Rick said not a chance in the world. He said, sorry, there's not a chance. But then again.
Yeah, that's not going to change anything.
He wouldn't say there was a chance if there was a chance.
Right.
So I hope they don't black out. I think it's going to be 39-36,
42-41. But you still got Georgia.
I do take Georgia.
I think I do too. And I'm not just homering out because that's, you know,
last year factor is going to play a part in this. But Georgia had a beat last year.
Yes, they did.
Until the miracle.
The play that I called, I will still stick by that. I called that one a minute ahead of time, but they can't hear me through Buffalo Wild Wings.
Not the way it happened, though, did it?
It was pretty close.
That was 4th and 25.
I had 20 people around the bar area of the Buffalo Wild Wing down in Jacksonville, because I was down there for a Jaguars thing I was at. And I told everybody around me, I said, the way those corners are up there, I said, if they don't start batting the ball down, something dumb's going to happen. About a minute later, here it is, and everybody just turned and looked at me like I'm some Nostradamus or something like that, and I said, it's easy to see it.
It was 4th and 30.
It's just like saying, if that kid keeps pushing on that TV, it's going to fall on his head. Well, when he gets hit in the head, it's not surprising.
4th and 30, and when he released the ball, I was like, yes. When the ball went in there, I said, heck yeah. I was like, no way.
When I saw the two defenders, I went, uh-oh. And once again, get a look from everybody who looks at me, looks back at the screen and watches that, and then they look back at me like, this game's live, right? It's very much
it's not
live.
When you used to record Jeopardy and win $10 off your friend.
I wish I could have done that, but I would have, like, forgotten the answer by the time it replayed.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I think it's going to be, I don't know what the over-under is. I'll set it at 75. I'll take the over on 75.
I would take the under on that, but just slightly. And I don't know, it's probably 70 or 72, but...
Yeah, 75 might be a bit aggressive.
It's
going to
be up there.
Yeah,
it's going to be up there.
But I don't bet. We're not allowed to bet. This is a red state.
A dry state, I
guess.
Red
state, yes. Yeah. And it really, the only real factor I'm putting into it is the Gurley factor. He's going to be like when...
A man possessed. He is going to want to show that he's still got it.
Well, Teen Wolf, finally was Teen Wolf during the basketball games.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be like.
Right. He's going to be the beast unleashed again.
Yeah. Or like Forrest Whitaker in Fast Times at Ridgemont High when they tore his car up.
Yep.
Or the big game, I forget, but they were playing. Were they Jefferson? Was that the high school that they played, or was that the high school that they were?
It has been so long since all that. You know, because we talked about... we called Tarantino movies last week. I actually sat down and tried to watch an entire Kill Bill Volume 2. It was on TV. I caught it at the very beginning, about an hour in. I realized I did not want to stay up that late on that day. And promptly turned the channel for a few minutes, went to bed, woke up the next day, pulled it off my DVD shelf, finished watching it. So I can say I've watched a Tarantino here lately.
I like Volume 2 better.
I do too. Mainly, it has to do more with the characters. There's nothing personal to the ones in the first one, but I like Mike Madsen. I think he always has these. He's like Steve Buscemi. The roles he has add so much to a movie. You have to pay attention to them, and they end up being your favorite.
Yeah.
And Madsen just has this odd, quirky ability to just take a scene.
Yeah, he does.
And I don't know why, because he's usually not handed feature roles. He's always a B-minus player in a thing, and then he just...
I always get him and Sizemore mixed up. Not throughout the whole movie, but just right at first.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a callback on, you know, what Sizemore did in Private Ryan. Or is that Michael Madsen? Well, I know it's Sizemore, I'm just saying, whenever you say it.
I had to think about it, though. I was like, oh, wait a minute, who was it?
Yeah, it's Sizemore.
But, you know, before we get out of here, we do want to talk about our friends at Georgia State.
All right.
They're still plugging along. It is a relatively new program still. They're still trying to get some... They're doing... Like I said, they are very much the Vanderbilt of the Sun Belt.
Yes.
So, you
know... Not a slight.
No, that's a huge compliment.
Well, you've got to start somewhere.
Right.
I mean...
And, like I said, I really like their quarterback.
Yeah.
I like a lot of things they do on defense. They're not terrible.
No, they've got a nice receiver, too.
They've run into some buzzsaws of teams they're playing against that are just happen to be in their division. A couple weeks ago, Appalachian State, 44-0, but didn't tell the whole story. Georgia State actually played them as hard as they played anybody.
Yeah.
And I'm not making excuses. I'm not trying to kiss up to them or nothing like that. Like I said, I like what Georgia State's doing. And in the next couple years, we're going to really, really be talking some really awesome things
about
them.
Yeah, and you know, Appalachian State, I mean, they're among... the leaders in that division.
And they've knocked off my Wolverines before, so they're no slouches.
Well, I didn't this year, but that's going to be their signature win of the year, which
right.
is something else.
And then, you know, Georgia State played Troy over the weekend.
Yeah.
I was actually within a couple hours of Troy. Could not get back there. I was going to try to make the game. Didn't quite make it. I had some other things that were keeping me away from it. Some other prior commitments. But, you know, they scored 21 points on Troy.
Yeah, Troy's...
Troy has shown up and played pretty well.
They have, and this is actually kind of a down year for Troy. I think they'll be making a change at head coach.
Yeah, they're reloading.
Yeah, they are reloading. They're going to be... I think they'll be making a change at the helm. Hopefully not the change I've been hearing about.
But 21 points on Troy this year, you know, I give you credit.
Well, and Troy... They're right there in the sweet spot for recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to use the word leftovers, but they get Auburn's leftovers. They get Bama's leftovers.
They get some of Florida.
UGA. So they've got some real talent. So
I mean,
when you go there and...
DeMarcus Ware went there.
Yeah.
I'm missing. There's somebody else.
I want to say OC.
Yep. OC Umanura of the Atlanta Falcons.
Somewhat.
Huh?
Somewhat.
Somewhat of the Falcons.
Somewhat of the Atlanta Falcons. He's there.
He wears a jersey.
Yeah, he does get paid. I think he did all right yesterday.
He's better than Bierman.
Bierman had his best game of the year.
But OC still bad?
Well, okay. Semantics, technicalities. Yeah. Like I said, when you play Troy, they're right in the middle of a hotbed of high school talent. So right. when you play them, it's a very, very talented team, hard hitting. Now, I know when they come and step up and play the SEC, it may not appear as much, but when Georgia State is playing them.
Well, but the Sun Belt is very much an emerging conference as well.
Yes, it is.
There are some really great teams down there.
Yes. And while this conference realignment, it's even hard for me. I mean, I even forget Maryland's in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I even forget Colorado's in the Pac-12.
I knew that. Only because I've talked to people about the Pac-10 and Pac-12 all year, so
it's hard to really know who's in what conference.
But, you know, Georgia State is off this week.
Yes.
Be able to regroup. And, who do they have? They will actually play Clemson in a couple weeks, in Clemson. So,
wow.
You know, good job in booking that game, and we wish them the best for sure. We'll talk about it a little bit next week.
Well, that's the uniform game.
Yeah, that's
get some new helmets.
Some new banners.
Yeah.
Buses.
That'll pay for a lot.
Yeah. That'll pay some scholarships.
Yeah, they're playing them before they play South Carolina.
What, Clemson plays them? Apparently so. But like we said, never say no.
No, you can't say. I mean, this college football's kind of spun up on his ear with these spread offenses and whatnot that pretty much if a team gets hot and they get rolling, they can be really, you can be down three scores before you know.
Playing in Clemson is very rough for a road team. I've seen it a couple times, but at the same time, you never know. And we wish our friends at Georgia State the best. And like I said, we will talk more on them in the Clemson game a little bit next week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's actually a good recruiting tool for them as well.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of kids from Carolina come down here.
Absolutely.
That's where Todd Gurley came from, Keith Marshall.
Yep. So, quick answer as we're wrapping up. Who's the best team in the East?
Georgia is the best team. They not play like the best team. They're the most talented. They have the most potential. They have the best player in the conference.
Okay. Can they stay the best team in the East?
I hate to say it, the door is closed on the East.
Think so.
Because they don't have any more East opponents to play.
Right.
So it's just really, can you beat Auburn and hope the Missouri leaves? I don't know that necessarily
means. Well, that's pretty good this year. So, I mean, Georgia's going to still have to beat them.
Well, not to win the East, though.
No. I don't think that'll take any effect. All right, same thing on the West.
Alabama.
I agree with Georgia on the East.
Alabama.
Yeah, we were talking about this a few minutes ago. Alabama's sitting at number two and actually playing the number one team over there at Mississippi State this week. They're in the prime spot, so it's just wait till they trip.
And it's really about matchups. You look at Alabama's best players, I could name four or five off, and if you ask me about Mississippi State's best player, it's one good player.
Yeah.
Not the other teams, you know, B plus, A minus.
They're very much a by committee team.
Yes.
It's the talent is spread out. There's no, they don't ask anybody to be a superstar. If you become one, that's on you.
Yeah.
It's just like a Chip Kelly offense, as you know, they'll be playing on Monday night here in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's don't ask anybody to be the superstar. Everybody plays and does their role, and we win.
Yeah, with, you know, Bama with Amari and Yeldon.
Yeah.
And now Sims. He woke up for the last two drives against LSU. That's only going to boost his confidence. It's in Tuscaloosa.
Yep.
That's going to really decide it. I mean, I know that they could beat Mississippi State, lose to Auburn, and Mississippi State goes in too. But best team, Alabama. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll win it.
Right.
But they're the same thing with Georgia.
I think it's between Mississippi State and Alabama on that side, and I give about just a hair slide. It's pretty much a point to me between which one could do it. I think Bama's got a slight edge, and it's just because of history.
Yeah.
Saban's going to have them playing like they've been there before because they have been there before. Mississippi State's just going to have to show up and prove that, you know, experience and everything.
Right.
But that's going to do it for us this week. And you got anything to add before we get out of here?
Nothing.
I think we got it all out.
Most of it.
As much as we're going to get out.
Yes.
But former Joe Pim, I have.